all the things that moms do that they don't get credit for, they don't appreciate, are not appreciated. Oh boy, how awesome it is to have a godly mother. Isn't that right? Are you excited about that? How awesome is it to be a part of the family of God, where mothers are doing great things? They do their job so well that you don't even notice what they do. It's almost as if nothing's happening. But yet, when they don't do what they do, oh boy, then we all know it. Then we all feel it. What an experience it is. And so I pray that you are respecting and honoring the mothers in your life and those who God has raised up to watch over us and to be the mothers that we all need. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love my mother, and I think she's awesome. Well, I got so many stories. I tell you, there is nothing greater than having a mother in your life that really loves you and is looking out for you and wanting to see you grow up and do well in life. And that's a picture of what God wants for his children. And the love of a mother is merely a reflection of the love of God. And when we are able to receive the love of our mother, it helps us more easily receive the love of God. It helps us to understand what God is saying and what God is doing. Well, I pray that you're having a blessed Mother's Day so far, and that it ends well with a good meal around the table, sharing stories and testimonies of what God has done in your lives and in your family's lives. And so what a blessed day. Isn't it awesome? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I never understood why Women's Day was so much better than Women's Day. Mother's Day was so much better than, well, it is like Women's Day. Why it was so much better than Father's Day. You never noticed that? You know, Father's Day is kind of like, oh, yeah. It's like, is that today? Yeah, Father's Day, oh, yeah. You know, Mother's Day, everybody's like, yeah, you're getting all the mom's phones are like, bzz, 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 you know, they're buzzing, they're ringing, you know, and all the kids and everybody is contacting her, saying happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. On Father's Day, it's like, where's my phone? Oh, yeah, here it is. It's like you don't even realize that that there's any phone there, but it's so awesome. That's the level of impact that mothers have on our lives, really, isn't it? And how much and how important it is for a mother to be honored. And it's so worth it, because mothers do so much work to enhance our lives. Well, I hope that you're excited about what God is doing and our whole building project and all that's going on. You know, God is doing some really amazing things, isn't that right? I mean, really, really incredible. And we're so thankful for our sister churches around the country that have caught our vision and are excited to help us. Praise God, you know. And it was so unexpected to receive the amount of support that we have from our sister churches. And we're just so thankful that God touches people's hearts, you know. And that's really, you know, what it is. And you know, so we're really excited. This week we're hosting the Northeast Convention here, and so all the churches that are represented here in the Northeast will be here during this week, and some of it is here, some of it's online, and so this will be the first time we're doing anything, but largely because most of it's online, and usually we need a lot more space than what we have here, but because it's broken up into regions, we're able to do it, and so that's exciting. So it's going to be an exciting week this week, and we're excited about what God is doing overall, because there is so much that's happening. We are asking everyone to keep our brother Jose and our brother Richie in prayer, as God is working in them, and we're praying that they're in the hospital right now, and they're asking for prayer. And we want to make sure that that request goes out. So remember them in prayer. cry out to God in their behalf, that God would restore them and that he would heal them and that God would just do a work in the midst of their situations, because it really is a situations where we need God to move. Amen. So let's pray and keep them in prayer. And they are two very awesome brothers who love God. They love us and we love them. And they've been faithful in doing what God has called them to do over their lives. And we want to see God continue to use them. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are talking about being citizens of the holy city and asking the question, who are you? And this is really a question that the world is struggling with. The world has lost its way. The world doesn't even know who they are anymore. The obvious is no longer obvious. And people have lost their sense of identity. And because of their lack or loss of identity, the world is now in a state of confusion and chaos. And this is a picture of what we see that will take place in the last days. The Bible talks about these kinds of things happening as the times grow more and more evil. In fact, the more people drift away from God, the more evil increases in the world. And that is why it's so important for us as the people of God to hold on to the truths of God's word. You know, we're not just believing in a book or just words that have been written, but the words that are written in the book are historical accounts, accurate testimonies, firsthand accounts of people who have experienced and encountered God, and also what those experiences are and were. And we know that they are true because we see them evidenced throughout history. In fact, we know that the Bible has been the most opposed writing in the history of humanity, in the history of man. No other writing, no other book or group of books or collection of books or writings has been attacked more than the Word of God. Whole cultures have risen up against the Word of God in order to destroy it and eradicate it from the world, not only their societies, not only their countries, but from the world. And the Bible has always been under attack since its early days, since the time of its writings. But because of the power of its authenticity, it still stands because it is a work of God. And it is God who breathed the scriptures, as the Word of God tells us. And because the Word of God is true, it is right, and it is accurate in its totality, we know that we can trust it and stand according to the Word of God. There is power in the gospel. There is power in the Word of God. It is not just a matter of believing something. It is not just a matter of having faith, but it is an experience that we have with God. The Bible has been written so that those who read it and apply its principles will have an encounter with God himself. And God, in his reality, he reveals himself to his people. And then we enter into relationship with him that is genuine, it is real, and it is true. It's not some hypothetical, some made-up thing, but it is a reality that is rooted in a genuine experience and encounter with God. Those are the people who make up the citizens of the holy city. Those people who have been born from above, as it says in John. We know that Jesus, as he explained to Nicodemus, as we talked about last week, explained the importance of being born again, being born from above. It's the idea of being born of the Spirit of God. It's a picture of what Jesus went through when we talk about his virgin birth with Mary and God the Father being his Father. God, who is Spirit, who is bringing life to him in the womb of Mary, and the two together bring forth the life that we know as Jesus Christ, who is Spirit and man. He is fully God and fully man. It is a work of the Spirit of God through the human condition or the human life or existence. And what Jesus did is using his God power and strength and ability in his the identifying factor of who he was in his human flesh, living out who he was in the human body, was able to fulfill the law of God or the law of Moses, and therefore meet the conditions or what is required by God for someone to be a savior, or for one who is capable or able to be born of God or experience new life in God. Jesus is a picture of the Word lived out. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the law of Moses and all the laws of God rolled up into a human person. And what that looks like when it is lived out faithfully 100% of the way. And Jesus was fully God, fully man, and he was completely and fully faithful to the Word of God. He lived it out the way God originally intended Adam to live in the garden. And because of the fall of man and because of sin that came into the world, humanity has fallen short at fulfilling the will and the call of God. So what God did was Jesus then came into the world. When Jesus came into the world, he became our example so that we would see and know what our lives are supposed to be like. This is what Jesus enabled us to do and experience. It is who we are in Christ. We are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, it is because you have been born from above, born of the Spirit of God. Not because you believe things, not just because you know things, not just because you're aware of things, but because you have been born of the Spirit of God. It is the working of the Spirit that brings life into your human body. Your mother gave you human life, ultimately God, but for the sake of making it easy, your mom gave you life. Your mother and your father, you were born into this world. Just like Jesus was born into the world, but the only difference is Jesus' father was God, who is a spirit. And if God, who is a spirit, came alive and gave birth to Jesus, you and I, we are born of our parents. So therefore, in order to have a God or Christ-like experience in life, we have to be born from our Father in heaven, just like Jesus was. And so we are born again. That's the term, where it says born again or born from above. We are born in the flesh or in water through the birth, or we are born of the Spirit. And we need the two coming together. And that's why Pentecost is so important, so that we can be filled with the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. And this is why so many people don't understand this. And Jesus explained it to Nicodemus. He said that you can't even see what I'm talking about. You can't perceive what I'm talking about. It's going over your head. It's foreign to you because you're not born from above. Once you're born from above, then you will begin to see and perceive the things of God. This is what the world is missing today, and why Christianity is under attack. Because the world is under a fallen condition, a condition that Satan has portrayed in this world. He is the prince and the power of the air. In fact, the scripture says that eyes are blinded. And because the eyes of humanity are blinded, they cannot see. Hence, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Okay, so as we look at these passages that we're looking at today, I would like to begin in Judges chapter 6, verse 15. And it says, he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh." and I am the youngest in my father's house. And so here is Gideon, and he is talking to the angel of the Lord who has come to him and has declared him a mighty warrior. And God has changed his identity. He is transforming him from someone who is seen as low class, or someone who is of low or limited or no influence in his society, in his culture, and even from the standpoint that he is the youngest child in his family and therefore is the least likely to even be heard in the house. He is acknowledging his condition and the position that he finds himself. He does not see himself as anything or anyone greater than a servant, one who is of humble means. And this is the position that maybe many of us find ourselves in. We see ourselves as being people with limited influence or people who have no real authority or power or position in our lives. And so we are merely humbly going through life, doing the best we can. But God has a higher and more important calling for you and I when we are born of the Spirit of God, when we are born of God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, a divine plan, a divine plan. And so will you join me in prayer? Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, O God, and we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. Lord, we ask that you would renew us and revive us, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would enable us to hear your voice and follow you, that your will would be done. Use us, O God, that we might be the citizens of the holy city that you've called us to be. Those who stand out in this world, in this time of difficulty and darkness, that we would be able to be your witnesses, that hearts and minds would be renewed, souls would be saved, and lives completely transformed by the work of the Spirit of God in them. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would mold us and shape us and enable us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, O God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God has a divine plan. He has a divine plan for you and for me and for each one who is born of the Spirit of God. Once you surrender your heart and life to Jesus, once you surrender your life to Christ, God immediately has a plan that is going to go into play that will help you to be transformed from who you were to who he designed you originally to be. You see, God knew us from our womb. He knew us from the day that we were born. It is God who breathed life into us. He knows who we all are. The Word of God says he even knows the number of the hairs on our head. Well, I guess in my case, that's pretty easy count. But nevertheless, we know that God is able to guide us and navigate us through life when we yield ourselves and surrender ourselves to him. In fact, our life is really the sum of the decisions that we make. Every time you make a decision, it affects the trajectory of your life. It affects your life experiences. And that is why having the Word of God as your source of direction and influence is so important, so that you can make God-advised decisions, so that you can make decisions that are rooted and based on the truth of the Word of God, so that as you understand who you are as a child of God, it helps you to be more faithful in your walk with God. It helps you to have greater confidence in God. It opens your eyes so that you can see more clearly and you understand what is happening a lot better when the Spirit of God is bringing revelation to you, God showing you, and he teaches us and he advises us. And sometimes we don't even really understand what's happening or know what's going on, but all of a sudden God shows us something and then it comes to light. Sometimes it's even years later. I don't know how many times I've looked back and I've been reminded of things my parents had said to me, and all of a sudden, years later, I'm going, that's what they meant. That's what they were talking about. And it comes back to you. And that's how it is when you walk with God. Sometimes things are happening and we're experiencing things and we don't really understand it, but down the road, God reveals it to us. And all of a sudden, it makes sense. And that's why we walk in faith. Our faith is applied in the application of God's word, even when we don't really understand it or realize what's gonna happen, what are we gonna do, what difference is it really gonna make if we do it. And that's where faith kicks in. And so I would like to use a couple of examples here from the word of God to help us to see what we're looking at here. And so I'd like to begin here in Judges chapter 6 with the story of Gideon. As it says here in verse 1, then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. So here, this is an important passage right here, because the first thing we have to understand is that Gideon's life, the season or the time of life in Israel's history that he was living in, his experience was based on the fact that Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And whenever people do evil in the sight of the Lord, there is a consequence. There are repercussions. And that is why it's not always your fault or my fault that we find ourselves in certain conditions, but how we respond in those conditions is up to us. And it is our responsibility to respond and act in a way that reflects or represents the kingdom of God, the word of God, or the truth of God. And when we do, it will change our life experience. It will change the trajectory of our lives. This is what God is doing in each and every one of our lives as we live each day. Every day we have an opportunity to make changes that will bring the truth of God's word and the power of the kingdom of God to light in the lives of the people around us. Many people have not come to Christ that we have been praying for because we have not been correctly or rightly representing the word of God or the truths of God. It is the word of God that is lived out that brings power to change into other people's lives. If we respond and react outside of the ways of God, then we're only furthering or perpetuating the evil or the false or bad or wrong condition that people are experiencing. And so with this understanding, it's important that we understand what Midian was doing in the life of the Israelites. They were being used by God to cause the Israelites to return to God, to come back to God. And so God is speaking to Gideon to kind of help him to see that because of the condition of his heart and the changes that are taking place, they're able to have a different life experience. And so verse 2 goes on and says, the power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. In other words, they were hiding. They were in shelters and they were taking cover because the Midianites were constantly coming in to take what they had. Verse 3 explains it a little more. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. And so this is a picture of what happens in the world even today. You see all of these groups, the Midianites and the Amalekites, and it says here the sons of the east. These are all different groups of people from different countries, different places around the world gathering together against the Israelites. And this is what happens today, even amongst Christians. Everybody is willing to talk about tolerance and getting along. You can get along with anybody except someone who believes the Bible is the Word of God and is true and is right. As soon as we start talking about the Word of God and the truths of God and the Bible, the world all of a sudden begins to rally together against you. All of a sudden, people don't want to talk about tolerance when it comes to the Bible and the Word of God. Now they want to talk about judgment and talking about being people who are putting down others and saying all these things that are really the opposite of what is true and what is right. And so, unfortunately, this is the type of world that we live in, and this very image that we see here in Scripture is what we are experiencing today. In the same way that the Israelites had to remain true to the Word of God, you and I must also remain true to the Word of God. Do you realize that we're living amongst a culture and a group of people that actually make things up as they go along, and they actually have no clue as to what the truth or the reality is, but they keep saying it over and over again on the news. They then come in and bring special groups into schools. They then come in and begin to educate different people, all different ways from all different places. And the whole idea is to get everyone to believe a lie. And the premise is that if you tell a lie long enough and from enough sources, then ultimately it becomes a truth, and people then believe it. And because that is what is happening in our society and what's happening in our culture, it is so important that we hold on to the one thing that has been true and consistent since the time began, since the world began, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God is true, it is accurate, and it is faithful. And you can hold on to the truth of God and His words, but you cannot believe what you see on the news. You cannot believe what you hear on Facebook or read in Instagram and all these other forms of information that are coming at us that are speaking half-truths and flat-out lies. And this is why we need to hold on to the Word of God. It is the role of God's Word to provide a foundation. It is an anchor in a person's life, in the life of all of us who are living, so that no matter what generation or period of time we're in, we can hold on to the truth of God and have a consistency of life experience as the people of God. And so we can replicate the life of Jesus and all of those over the years who have been faithful to the Word of God. We too can be faithful to the Word of God and have a similar life experience, knowing that in the end, God's Word is true, and that what He says will happen, will happen. We will hear those faithful words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." This is what our future is. When Jesus comes again, He will then take the reins and rule and reign. Isn't that right? And so it may not be this generation. It may be the next generation or the one after that. But you can count on the fact that it will happen. It is happening. Just as every other thing that God said in His Word has happened, it will also happen that way in the end. God's Word is faithful, and He is true. And so in verse 3, as it says, verse 4, He says, "So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey." And so here are the Israelites trying to cultivate and establish their society, their lives, in their livelihood, when all of a sudden here come these Amalekites and all of these groups that have gathered together, and they're literally robbing them of their sustenance. Sustenance is God's provision. It's the things that you need in order to survive and thrive in life. it's their food sources, essentially. And so here you see the Israelites coming under attack by these groups in order to rob them of God's provision. This principle still is in play today because it is a demonic principle that Satan has used from the beginning. And that is that he robs the people of God of their sustenance, of their resources, of the things that we need to survive. Why? Because we are about our Father's business. The whole idea is to keep the people of God in a place where they can't do anything but try to survive. And that is what is happening here with the Israelites. And so God is raising up Gideon in order to bring about change. And whenever you begin to experience this kind of thing, and we find ourselves in a place where we have the revelation that we need God, then God touches our hearts, and we're now enabled to persevere in that direction, the will of God, to accomplish what it is that God wants us to actually do and the things we need to be able to experience. And so this is what verse 7 says in Judges 6. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian. That the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. And so here we see that God is now speaking to Gideon, and he is letting them know that it was God who has done all these things. He's reminding them of what God has done. And you and I, we have a history with God. It may not be our generation or our lives. Maybe you're the first person in your family to come to Christ or to make the decision to live according to the word of God. But somewhere in your lineage, someone turned their back on God. Someone rebelled on God. We know this because all of our lineage can be traced back to Noah. And because we can all be traced back to Noah, we know that we all had a relationship with God at some point because Noah did. And if we ultimately all came from Noah, then we all ultimately know that it is someone along the way over the generations of our lineage that turned their backs on God. And so now we come to a place in our history where we have cried out to God. I cried out to God. Many of you, most of you, have cried out to God. And maybe you're the first ones to cry out to God. And you and I are now change agents. We are like the Gideons of the Word of God here in this sense. We are the ones who God has raised up because we are crying out to God, or someone in our family, in our life, has cried out to God, and so now God has responded to that cry. And God sends a prophet. A prophet is someone who is a messenger who brings the word of God, who declares the word of God. And he says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up out of Egypt. And God begins to remind them of what he has done. We can go back to the cross. We know what Jesus has accomplished, how he died, how he was crucified, how he was raised up from the grave, how he was able to live, and he overcame sin and death. And because of his accomplishments, we are able to experience new life in Christ. That is the reminder that we receive often. Verse 10 of Judges 6 says, and I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. And so God is reminding Gideon. He is saying, you have not obeyed me. Israel has not obeyed me. Remember, the time of the judges was a time when people did what was right in their own eyes, right? That's what the scripture said. In other words, whatever you think is right, you just go ahead and go for it. I think that is where we are headed again in this society. We are living in a day and age where people are pushing to be able to do whatever is right in their own eyes. Whatever they can conceive or think of or feel they want to do, they just want to be able to do it, and nobody said have anything to say about it. And this is where the world is going. This is not new. As we can see from the Word of God, it goes all the way back to the days of Judges. And this is the mindset of the people. Why? Because the world is under satanic influence. And when the world is under satanic influence, then it's going to take on the attributes of Satan. And because there is nothing new in all of the earth, as the Word of God tells us, the history just keeps repeating itself in different ways. And, you know, we don't really learn from history. I mean, there's whole movements that try to deny that things that actually are well documented in history didn't really happen. And there are people who are actually pushing to get things changed so that kids in school don't even learn what really happened. They learn some imagination of what happened. And this is what is happening in our culture. And this is why it's so scary to live in a culture, in a society like this, and how important it is to be faithful to the Word of God. This is why you need to be meditating on the Word of God day and night, so that you can obey the Word. You can apply the principles of God in your life. Verse 11 says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites." The Midianites were coming. The Midianites were looking to rob Gideon and his family and all of the Israelites of all of their sustenance, all that God has provided for them. And that is what Satan always does. He will find ways to cause you to miss out on God's provision. In other words, God has given us direction on how to manage our resources, how to live our lives, how to make wise decisions, how to understand and deal with the situations that we face in life. And God has already laid out and orchestrated a roadmap for our success in life. And when we follow that plan, we are able to overcome the strategies of the enemy, the strategies of Satan. And this is where the problem was with the Israelites. They were taking on the attributes and the cultural mindset of these people that were around them. And because they were adapting to the culture around them rather than staying true to the Word of God, they found themselves being oppressed by the Midianites. You and I are always having to deal with Midianites. There are Midianites all around us. We go to school with Midianites. We go to work with Midianites, with Jebusites and Girgashites and all of the different shites and ites that are out there. We're interacting with them, and they are all there in interacting and bringing influence into our lives. And this is why we have to meditate on the Word of God day and night, because your soul is at stake. Your mind is at stake. And God is trying to keep you in your right mind, in your right state of mind. It's one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Isn't that right? Self-control or a sound mind is often translated. And you and I, in order to maintain a sound mind, have to hold on to the truths of God and His Word. Because one day you're going to wake up and find out that a car is no longer a car, it's a rabbit. And there are going to be people who will be convinced that that's what it is, and they will tell you and argue with you and debate you, and you're going to say, "I'm losing my mind." And God says, that's why you hold on to the truths of God, because this is where the world is going. And it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, 20 years ago, we were laughing at all the things that were going on, and we were saying people are going to marry their pets, and now they're doing it. It's a reality. And so you and I are living in a world where things that may have been crazy 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, now is making perfect sense to an insane group of people that are called Americans and people who live in this society and this world around us. And so nothing is beyond impossible or crazy or insane. The most insane and crazy thing you can think of is probably going to be in our future. And that is why the Word of God is so strong and intent on holding on to the truths of God and His Word. Because as time progresses, evil will increase. It will get more and more difficult to even hold on what you and I know to be right and to be true. And so verse 12 goes on and he says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Here's some words here. Isn't that something? Here is a guy. He is the youngest in his house. He's looking down on himself. And God is saying, you're a valiant warrior. He says, I'm no valiant warrior. I'm a farmer boy. I'm here threshing out wheat. I'm just trying to survive before the Midianites come and try to rob us of everything that we have. But because God is their source and their provision, God keeps replenishing. God keeps providing. Why? Because they call out upon the name of the Lord. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be delivered. That's Romans, right? Romans tells us if you call upon the name of the Lord, He will respond to you. He will set you free. He will deliver. He will make a way for you. And that is why it's so important to hold on to these truths. Gideon says to the Lord, he says, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where is all His miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And so here is Gideon, and he is crying out, saying all the things, but didn't God already say that to him? Didn't God just say that in verse 5 or 6? What was that back there? God had already said this. Now he's just repeating. So often, God's speaking into our lives, but it goes over our heads. And we're not grasping what God is saying. We're not really catching what the word of the Lord really is saying, and we're not able to apply it because we can't see. We're not able to perceive what the Spirit of God is saying. And so as a result, we find ourselves in this condition where we're being overtaken by the Midianites in our life, by the oppressors, by a bondage, all the crazy things that are happening all around us. And yet the answer is right there. The answer is you did not obey me because you did not apply the word of God. You know, and people don't get offended by the words, you did not obey me. That can kind of feel offensive. Look at it this way. Say God says, look, I gave you directions in how to avoid this situation, but you didn't listen. It's kind of what mother says when she's giving us direct, don't touch the hot stove. Don't touch the hot stove. Now you touch the hot stove. Now you got a burned hand. Now you're crying and screaming. Ah! And mom's going, what's the matter? Ah, my hand. And mom says, what did you do it for? I told you, don't touch the hot stove. Don't blame me. I told you not to touch it. You touched it. Now you got a burned hand. So now you're crying to me. And now mommy has to fix it. Oh, you got a boo-boo. Come here, right? And now mom has to pour love on it because that's what mama does. And that's what God does. It's a picture of how God responds to us in our human condition, in our society. And whenever we cry out to God, even after doing the wrong thing, God says, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to forgive us from all unrighteousness. That means everything you didn't do right. You knew what you were supposed to do, but you didn't do it. God says, I'm gonna let that go. I'm gonna release that. I'm forgiving you. And that's the love of God. That is what God is bringing about in our lives. In verse 14, he says, the Lord looked at him. Don't you find that interesting? Here he is. He's having this conversation. And the Lord looked at him. You know what it's like when mom looks at you? Mom gives you a look. You know what mom means when you get that look. I'm sure Gideon knew what God meant when the Lord looked at him. I tell you what, if God looked at me, I tell you, I would get something from that. I would get something from that. And he says, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? In other words, don't worry about who you were. This is now who you are. Now you have called out to God. Now you have recognized the reality of your situation, and God has given you instructions, and we are going to now remedy the situation. So now, because God has sent you, you are able to go. You are able to overcome. You are able to conquer. And he says to him, how shall I go? How shall I deliver Israel? My family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. And so here he is explaining that he is of a low condition in his culture, in his society. He is the least in his family. But the Lord says to him in response, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. And hallelujah, this is the awesomeness of God. You and I, we may say, who are we? We're nobody. We can't change anything in this world. But if God is with you, who can be against you? You see, no weapon formed against you can prosper when you are walking with God, when you are faithful to God, when you're literally applying biblical principles in your life. God will cause you to navigate through life in a way that makes you victorious in every aspect and where you are faithful to God. If you're faithful in this area, God will be with you in this area. If you're not faithful over here, then you will not see the hand of God in this area of your life. You will be defeated. Satan will be getting the best of you until you bring this area of your life into alignment with the Word of God. This is why you see people having the same problems over and over and over and over again. You try to get them to understand and get them to a place where they get better, but it just turns out that down the road, they end up doing the same thing again because they don't change. This is what the power of God will do in our lives. When we're faithful to God, we're faithful to His Word, God changes the trajectory of our life. He changes the direction. He changes our life experience. And it changes our identity. When your identity changes, it changes your future. If your identity changes, it will change your future. The way you see yourself will determine what you actually accomplish in life and where you will end up. And that is why it is important for us to see ourselves as the people that God says we are, the people that we really are. Stop looking at yourself in your human state or condition and see yourself from your heavenly position in Christ, in God. And this is why the Word of God says that even as Jesus is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, you and I are also seated there. And we are seated there because the same Spirit that rose up Christ from the dead dwells in us. And this is why Paul says, be filled with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will give you the power and the strength of God to stay true to the Word of God so that you can accomplish the will of God. This is what God is working out in our lives. This is why the scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's with this idea, this concept, that we are tapping into our heavenly resource so that the Spirit of God empowers us, enables us, so that we can live out the Word of God in fulfillment of the will of God. Hallelujah. So we see this lived out or portrayed here in the story of Moses, and I'm going to try to wrap this up quick. In verses 1 through 10, we see this story in Exodus. It says, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. And, you know, everybody thinks their baby is beautiful. I've seen some that, you know, maybe not so much. But everybody thinks their baby is beautiful. You know, yeah. Well, never mind. we know that when a woman conceives her child, she's going to love that child. She's going to see the beauty in that child. You and I may not see that beauty. You may go, ooh, you know, we've all seen Seinfeld. We've seen that episode with the ugly baby, right? And so we know that it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? There's a whole Twilight Zone episode about that. And so, you know, you and I are able to experience the love of God, and it's because he is the one who created us. He sees us as the loving father or the loving mother. He's looking at their child. When a mother looks at her child, she sees the beauty in that child because she knows the child came from herself. To insult the beauty of the child is to insult the mother and the father. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So you don't say those things, right? So you keep that to yourself. And you just go, oh, isn't that cute? And so God is able to see that in us. And that's what God says to us. He says, oh, you are a mighty warrior. When you're saying, no, I'm the least in my house. I'm the lowest. I'm just, you know, here threshing wheat, trying to survive and live. I'm hiding in caves and I'm trying to just make it through life. But God says, no, you're a mighty warrior. You have the power to make a difference in the world. You can change your life experience, and I am with you. And if I am with you, who can be against you? You cannot lose. You cannot fail as long as you stay faithful to the word of God. Oh, this is what God is pointing out in this story of Moses. And so it says when she could hide him no longer, she got him in a wicker basket, covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it out among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister, Moses' older sister, stood at a distance to find out what would happen. That's just like a sister, right? You know, there she is looking to see what was going to happen to her little brother because his life was in danger. They were killing the children, and they didn't want the Hebrew children to grow into adulthood and to increase the population because they were saying there was too many of them. There would be more of them than there would be of people in Israel, people of Egypt. And they didn't want the Israelites to outnumber the Egyptians in society, in a culture. There's one big one right there. I'm going to skip over that one. But it's certainly happening even today. And so it says his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. And so we see that in verse 5, the daughter of Pharaoh comes down to bathe at the Nile along with her maidens. And she's walking along the Nile and she sees the basket among the reeds. And she sends her maiden and she goes to have the basket brought to her. And when she opens it, she saw the child and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. This is the favor of God. Oh, when God has a plan for your life, when he is working in your lineage, and when he has got a charge of your future, and he has a sense of your identity and knows what it is that he is working out in your life, you will prevail. God will enable you to overcome. And this is what Christ brings into our life. And so this child is recognized as one of the Hebrew children. And so his sister says to Pharaoh's daughter, he says, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she might nurse the child for you? Notice how strategic her language is. This is the wisdom of a woman. If it was a guy, what did the guy say? Hey, I know the kid's mother. You want me to go grab her for you? You know, right? You know, that's what a guy would have said, or some unwise person, right, would have said that kind of thing. But no, this woman is wise. She is smart. And this is the younger sister. The young sister, she's older than Moses, but he's the sister. And she's got godly wisdom. You see what happens when God is in something? God gave her favor and gave her wisdom. And so now she is speaking. And Pharaoh's daughter says to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. How do you like that? How awesome is that? And so now their concerns can be alleviated. They can see the faithfulness of God. That's the hand of God. It says, then Pharaoh's daughter says to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages. I'll pay you to take care of your own kid. Oh my goodness. That doesn't get much better than that. And so the woman took the child and nursed him. And so we see the faithfulness of God. And it says the child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. And the water in Scripture represents the washing of the Word of God. The Word of God renews us. The Word of God is what brings new life to us. It changes our future from one of death to one of life. This is the picture that we see. You and I are experiencing this right now in our lives today. God is bringing us from death to life. This is what the gospel is all about. In Luke 1:57, it says about the birth of John the Baptist. It says, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. And that was because there was no relative that had that name, that was called anything else. They were going to name him after the father, little Zacharias Jr. Isn't that right? That's what we like to do. I'm Shelley Sampson III, right? So there was three versions before they got it right. But then they realized that there was still some defect here, so I had to have a fourth, right? So my son is the fourth, so now he's a little better version of me. And I know this because my wife reminds me all the time. So we know that as the time goes on, your generations are supposed to get better. And there's no greater joy in the life of a parent, especially in a mother's heart, to see their child do better than them, to see them succeed in life, to see them accomplish and fulfill the will of God and the call of God in their life. And so verse 60 says, his mother answered and says, no, indeed, he shall be called John. And so the people were amazed because there's no one in their family named John, but God's word said he would be John. The word of the Lord came down, he would be called John. Now, when Zacharias originally heard this message, he kind of was doubting God. We know because then the angel of the Lord closed his mouth. Isn't that right? Man, that is brutal. There's nothing worse than having God have to close your mouth. And God closed his mouth for 9 months at least, right? 9 months. He was like, and there was nothing he could say. But then when he confirmed the word of God, his mouth was released. His mouth was released. And I tell you, no man can out-argue a woman. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, don't even try it. Don't try to argue. Don't try to debate. Give in quickly. Surrender. Say, I'm sorry you are right, honey. I'm sorry you're right. Forgive me. I don't know what got over me. Back off, back out. You're not going to win. You are not. It's not going to happen. That's why God closed Zachariah's mouth, right? That's the example. Let God give you a closed mouth. You can avoid a lot of trouble if we just close our mouths and just receive. I've learned that there's a lot of wisdom in just listening and allowing God to speak through the people in your life. We have to learn how to be quiet and just listen and apply the wisdom of God. Apply the word of God. I don't know what happened. I thought I was genius when I was single. But then when I got married, something happened, and I don't know, I got stupefied somehow. So now my wife is always having to fix something that I did or said or whatever happened. And now I have a staff. I got these women on staff, and they're like, no, you better not do that. You might want to do this. I'm like, well, goodness. And so now I have all of these ladies around me speaking into my life, and I've learned that, man, they've got wisdom. They have wisdom from God. It is awesome. It is powerful. It's things that I should know this. I know this. I knew this. I did know this. How come it just didn't? But it comes back. And this is how God works. And we do that for each other. And we're all interacting together. And God breathes life into us. And he explains things. He reveals things. And so this is what was happening in John's life. And finally, we see it in the life of Jesus. When Mary gave birth to Jesus, and it tells us this story of how Christ came into the world through his mother Mary, who had been betrothed to Joseph. And before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was the life that was in the womb of Mary. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, notice he was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace her, so he planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And now, after all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, and he said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And this is what God has been saying to his people since the beginning. We see it in the life of Gideon. When the angel of the Lord showed up, God is with you. When Christ has given you new life, God is with you. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is your source of life, your source of provision. He watches over you like a mother, like a woman would care for her child. God watches over his people. He watches over his word, the scripture says. He chastens his word to perform it. That means he watches over it carefully, and he guides it and guards it so that it can accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. This is what God is doing in your life and mine. This is what is happening to us. When we receive Christ, we receive God with us. Christ comes into our life. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God will enable you to overcome, and you will see the hand of God faithfully manifested in your life. You will see God working and enabling his will to be accomplished. And this is what God is calling us to do. It says in verse 24, when Joseph awoke from his sleep, and the angel, as the Lord had commanded him, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. And he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He probably learned from Zacharias, I'm not going to have the Lord close my mouth. I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to trust God. And this is the picture of what our choice needs to be. We need to just believe God. It doesn't matter if you find yourself in this position that is seen here in Judges chapter 6, verse 15, where he says, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. That might be your story. You might feel like Gideon today. You might feel like one who is less or who has no power or no authority. But I will assure you, if Christ is in you, you can do all things. There is nothing that is impossible with you. All you have to do is fulfill the word of God. Just obey the word of God. Apply the principles of God's word in your life. Fulfill a divine plan, and God will be with you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. But you will be victorious in every aspect of your life because God's glory is residing within you. All you have to do is remain faithful. Stay true and allow God to manifest himself, and you will not be disappointed. Because God is with you, and he will never forsake you. Fulfill the divine plan. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. You're not oppressed, persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I invest beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. His joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming out today. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be glorified in your life. I pray that you understand that no matter what your past was, your future is great in God. And the Spirit of the Lord is working and manifesting itself. Even though it may not seem like it is, God is fulfilling His plan. Just stay true to the word of the Lord. Stay true and be faithful, and you will see that He is with you. He will never leave you. He will not forsake you, but His glory will be manifested in your life. God will take your past and turn it into a great future. No matter what your past has been, your future is great as long as you stay true and faithful to the word of God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We ask, oh God, that you would be lifted up among us. And we pray your blessing upon every mother, every wife, every daughter, every child of God who calls upon the name of the Lord today. And we ask, oh God, that you would continue to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, so that your will would be accomplished and you would be glorified in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. And give glory to God on this Mother's Day, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon into the evening, and let your mama be proud at all that you can do for her. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.